So when I started planning this service and sermon, I thought it would be easy to find a reading on how our children lead, how they use their prophetic voice. But after an hour of searching the web many different ways, I really couldn't find any writing that fit really well with what I was looking for. Now, that doesn't mean that it isn't out there, but it does mean that it's hard to find. And then I thought about it a bit more. We in the UU world are different in how we view our children and how we should educate them. Reverend Chris Bice, who started his UU career as a director of religious ed, wrote this. A few summers ago, my wife Suzanne and I took our son Christopher gem mining in the mountains of North Carolina. We mounded a pile of mud and dirt, got a sifter, and began sifting through the soil in search of gems. Liberal religious education is like gem mining. In a Unitarian Universalist society or Sunday school, we endeavor to teach our children discernment. The word discernment comes from the Latin word, I didn't take Latin, discernere, which means to separate, to distinguish, to sort out. In other words, we try to teach our children to be gem miners. The process of gem mining is simple. You take some dirt, place it into a strainer, run creek water through it, and sift it until you find a gem. Liberal religious gem mining requires the ability to discern what is worth keeping and what should be sifted out and discarded. This can be difficult. Our children have to sift through a lot of information in life. They learn values from television, popular music, the internet, books, magazines, their friends, and many other sources. We can't even know all the messages they are exposed to on a regular basis. We cannot shelter our children forever, but we can teach them the process of discernment and the art of gem mining. We can help to awaken their conscience so that they will be able to make responsible choices, to separate things of value from things that have no value. At some point, we must open the door and lead our children into the world and speak words to them that tradition says God spoke to the children of Israel. I have set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life. Now, I have minister friends in other denominations who wonder what we teach our children if we do not teach them from the Bible or teach them a catechism. I tell my minister friends that we teach our children our values, inclusion, that each person is important, collaboration, respect, speaking up when we need to, listening, treating the environment well. It can sound fluffy, but really it's not. Those are hard values to teach. And we UUs owe our very existence to our youth. We taught them those values, and this is what they gave us. Before the Unitarians and the Universalists came together as one church in 1959, we were two different churches. But the Universalist youth and the Unitarian youth knew that each group was cool, and they started to work together. The grown-ups actually had conversations for decades about whether or not it would be good to come together and make one church out of two. But the adults kept getting stuck on where the differences were and how scary change is. That's probably the very shortest version of that history you will ever hear. But it is reasonably accurate. But what I want the young people in this room to hear is this. Before the grown-ups could work out their differences, the youth were way ahead. They could see the future and understood that we were better together than we were apart. Here in Syracuse, we have a little bit of that experience. Our high school youth group is doing pretty well, I would say. We have approximately 30 or 35 youth registered in our senior high group, with about 20 usually showing up on a Sunday. The teen group is really the group that started the collaboration that is going on between May Memorial and First UU. At one point, there were like maybe three high school youth at First, and on many Sundays, only one of them would show up for youth group. And that's not much of a group, is it? And there were maybe about 10 or 12 youth meeting over at May Memorial. These kids all knew each other because they had gone to cons together, and Syracuse is a really small city. I was the DRE at May at the time, and some people were getting stuck on the difficulties and were scared of change. Excuse me, let me step back. The youth at First said, I think we should just go over to May and start meeting with their youth group. We should just combine the two youth groups. And some of the adults at May were getting stuck about the difficulties and were scared of change. And, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a good idea and it sounds complicated and what will we do about registration and all of that. It was suggested to me that perhaps I should say, no, this can't happen. To which I said, we don't really have a policy of turning youth away. So I can't really bar the door. I said, the youth from First are going to be coming. Let's not fight this. Let's get ahead of it. Let's find a way to make this work. And that was the beginning of our great collaboration between the two churches. Our junior high program then became a collaborative program also. The two churches have done an adult ed program called Wellspring several times. We have marched together. We've been at the Westcott Fair together. We now have Bethany as our intern working at both congregations. It can be complicated, but it can also be rewarding and well worth it, I think. And if my memory serves me correctly, it was primarily Joel Bowman who said he was going to start coming to the Youth May group. I think that one of the things that we do as UUs more than other folks is that we respect our children and we respect their prophetic voice. So I really want the kids who are in this room to hear that. When your Sunday school teacher comes into your room and says, what do you think? They really mean that. I've trained Sunday school teachers. They really want to know what you think. We don't get our youth or children into Sunday school class and try and cram information into them. They come into class and we tend to ask them, well, what do you feel about that? What do you think? Let's talk about that. By respecting them, we tend to build their confidence, and by treating them as if they had a voice and personal power, they find out that they have a voice and personal power. A lot of the time, we grown-ups think that you children and youth will become good citizens when you grow up. We think you will become good change agents when you grow up. And I believe that you will. And I also know that you are doing good things right now. You are not waiting until you grow up. I asked parents for some examples of things that their children were doing out in the world these days, and not everybody answered, so the fact that I don't mention your child is not meaning that your child is not doing anything. I'm only able to give out the information that was shared with me. So one of our youth, Grace Irish, ran for vice president of her student council at Roberts School. She is getting involved in the democratic process early. She won using her voice. And here's the twist to the story that I really like. She ran against Reagan Darmody Latham, another one of our junior high youth. In an election, you have a winner and a loser, and that is hard, and it's not easy, but you know what? They are still talking to each other. We could learn something from that. Sadie, one of our teens, volunteers at history camp every summer, and she gives blood on a regular basis. Ben Dilly gave his allowance for the elephant pool at Rosamond Gifford Zoo because he was sad when the second baby was stillborn two summers ago, and he thought that the mom could use some cheering up. He's given his allowance to Goals for Peace, which provides soccer balls to youth around the world. Leon Dilly, his brother, asked if he could go to the protest at the airport on Sunday. He's trying to collect markers to turn into energy with his school. And he's a reading buddy for a kindergartner at school. And if you know Ben and Leon, you know they are the first to offer to set up tables at any potluck or church gathering. Amelia Leslie Fox has been pretty busy. She's been protesting since she was 4 months old. Knowing her mothers, that does not surprise me. She's written letters to politicians to thank them to ask and to ask them for to change. She's been to the U.S. Capitol to lobby for Haiti and its recovery. On her 5th birthday, she asked people to donate art supplies to her school instead of asking for birthday presents. She made cookies and cards for firefighters. She's cooked meals at Ronald McDonald House. She does a month of kindness of acts every December. Over and over again, I see our children answering the call to love. Now, most of us are not big name change agents. Most of us are not and never will be Martin Luther King. But all of us can do the little things. Write a letter, make a call, donate some money, cook some food, have respectful conversations with people we disagree with. All of us can make small actions. Lately, I've taken to using the motto, do what you can, when you can, where you can. Our children have taught me something. Small actions, especially when they are repeated over time, can have a big impact. I saw a quote on Facebook this week. An avalanche begins when snowflakes gather together. And I have learned that it is important to listen to our children. They have good ideas and great hearts. They are raising us well. In a world without end, I know this to be true.